Hey, this is Bree.
And that's Sean.
And welcome to our third season of Paranormal Files Canada.
Live episode.
Yes, live and in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, we are going to be talking about the Orillia Opera House.
Which you can see behind us.
Yes. And we're also going to be talking about the Harbor House Hotel in Salt Springs Island, BC. So let's get right into talking about the Orillia Opera House. Bree, take it away.
Certainly. So the Orillia Opera House, when it became a village in 1867, they wanted to move the farmers market from the waterfront and to make it a more central location. The village councillors wanted a new town hall and a proper jail for the rowdy people in town. The new town hall had its meeting in August 7th, 1874, and it served well from 1874 to 1877. They then decided they needed something bigger. And in 1895, it was built with a Richardsonian Romanesque architecture. That's a tongue twister. And then it was replaced, the first town hall, built in 1874. It was also built to house the Orillia City Council and the local jail. It was designed by a Toronto architecture firm, and it cost the taxpayers about $25,000, and it had a city council chamber, an auditorium, city hall offices, and some market booths in the jail, of course. It was described as the finest building for corporation purposes of any town in Ontario. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
The auditorium had 905 seats with a beautiful wraparound balcony, which you can see behind us here. Most of the building was destroyed in a fire that took place in 1915 and was rebuilt and reopened in 1917. Although there was no South Tower, in the rebuilding of the structure, they kept the same architecture and the new lobby and stairs, as well as the add-on in the east, and the washrooms were all added to the ground floor level.
Right. Balcony was replaced with a balcony facing the stage, and the dressing rooms were moved downstairs. So the stage would be the width of the building. They also put in an orchestra pit and a backstage hoist. They renovated the entrance on the east side in 1958. Renovations in the 80s saw upgrades to public areas with an elevator, and air conditioning was even added, a lighting bridge to the auditorium as well. The 700-seat auditorium was also a movie house in the 20s until the 50s. The Orillia City Council left the building in 1997, and the Opera House had room for small theaters and opened the studio with 104 seats. So you'll see in the tour of the building the smaller stage that's set up as well. And it was very intimate. Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely would like to see something there.
Yes.
Because it's very small.
Makes you feel like you're part of
the show.
Yeah.
In a sense. So it was also known for having really great acoustics. I know as we talk, it sounds like it's carrying very well, and we're just sitting in the front seat. Mm-hmm. So imagine if you were on the stage and trying to project your voice. It would be very easy to do because of the amazing architecture that's in this building. In 1997, the Opera House renamed its auditorium in honor of its most famous son, Mr. Gordon Lightfoot. So I think now would be a great time to talk about the ghosts that haunt the Orillia Opera House.
So it's a bit chilly in here.
It is.
I had goosebumps earlier, but now I'm okay. So it's said that the ghosts of the Israeli Opera House, apparently it's said that they tend to go around and slam doors or make groaning and moaning sounds while they're around.
Yeah, and that's one thing that Wendy mentioned during the
tour,
that there was one worker that worked in the building and he had fallen into like an elevator shaft or what have you, and he wasn't found until Monday. So unfortunately, he had succumbed to his injuries. So that's kind of where that moaning and groaning sounds that are coming from. Yeah.
That's awful.
It is. It is.
They also play, I guess, like with the shadows in the room too, kind of, I don't know, well, the usual thing when you see something move. They also drop the temperature in the room to like, well, earlier I always said I was feeling, you know, goosebumps all over.
Yeah.
There's other investigators that have come in who have done like paranormal shows themselves, and they've also determined that they felt presence here with a female type of ghost or spirit or entity. And they say that the ghost, the female ghost, was probably the girl who played the piano during the silent movies that were played here. And there's also a woman who worked in the ticket booth that haunts the place. And there was actually recently, which Wendy mentioned in the tour, that there was a gentleman who had a heart attack while watching a performance. So they say that he's still here because he didn't get to see the end of the show. So
that's right. Yeah. You know, what a good place to be.
I would love to be
your eternity. Yeah. You know, and I think we've talked about that before in some of our past audio episodes where, you know, what a fantastic place to spend your eternity and be able to, you know, live a life where, in a place that brings people so much joy and happiness and, you know, brings a story to life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And brings people together.
It does. It brings people together, gives people an avenue to kind of, you know, break free from
everyday life.
Everyday life and things like that. So, you know, with all the, you know, not opera houses, but playhouses, opera houses,
theaters,
you know, the London Theater, the Grand Theater that Julie talked about in our first season, you know, really interesting stuff. And you know, you find a lot of residual entities that kind of stick around and call that their final resting place, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. But they also say that the ghosts that are here, they're fun. They're not malevolent in any way, and they don't try and hurt people. So
yeah. So everybody's experience have always been really good. Mm-hmm. Really not calming, but I guess anybody that would see a ghost would be kind of freaked out. But it doesn't seem like anything negative that kind of haunts the place. So which is good, because there's really shouldn't be any negativity that kind of floats around here unless it's coming out of a show or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So anything more for the ghosts of the Aurelia Opera House?
No, that is all I have.
Well, that is it. And, you know, as Brie was saying, you can see behind us, and you'll also see in the tour that, you know, and we said this at the beginning of the show, that there are a lot of different places that you're not usually able to see. Mm-hmm. We went into some jail cells where the HVAC system was, and you know, we had to kind of duck down and take some photos and stuff like that. And
well, because it was sealed over, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
So they had built a wall over where these jail cells were, so when they were putting the HVAC in, they're like, oh, what the?
Hey, look what we
found.
Yeah, so definitely check out our Facebook page where you can see the intro to the Aurelia Opera House, and you're going to be able to see that tour that we were talking about with Wendy from the Aurelia Opera House. Okay, so now we're going to move into the Harbor House Hotel in Salt Springs Island, British Columbia. In the early 1900s, newlywed Alfred Fred Crofton and Nona Wilson bought a 100-acre seafront farm at Genghis Harbor. They started raising livestock, growing fruits and vegetables to support their ever-growing family. When Fred went to fight in the First World War, Nona started taking overnight travelers and guests, and eventually she renovated the farmhouse into a 12-bedroom guest house. She named it after Fred's Irish country home, and the Harbor House Hotel was born. The guests came from all over the land and sea, and the hotel, for the hotel itself and its hospitality. There was even eventually saltwater swimming pool and tennis courts that were added. They had picnics, fishing trips, scavenger hunts, high tea was served on the veranda, and the original farm continued to serve the chef at the hotel for almost 50 years with produce, eggs, meat, and whatever he needed to feed the guest and the family. He did not have any refrigeration, so there was never regular ferry service, so the hotel became very largely self-sufficient. I find that absolutely fantastically amazing that this hotel could like basically sustain itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
After they sold the hotel in the late 50s, a regular ferry service would start to bring meat and produce from afar, and the farm became and fell into disuse because, you know, they didn't have to rely on the farm as much as they did before. Mm-hmm. The land was sold, developed, donated, and some was given to the Croft children themselves. The last 17 acres remained behind the hotel, and it overgrew with wild berries and wild plants. But today, there is a 2.5-acre farm that sits on the 15-acre remnant of a Crofton original farm directly behind the hotel. In 2004, the hotel began providing their restaurant and guests with farm-fresh produce for their meals, just like the Croftons did from 1916 until the 1950s. They had a benefit of the farm resting for all those years. The land was never exposed to chemicals that was used for farming at the time. So, a definite benefit. Present day, the hotel is just 5 minutes stroll to activities, shops, and you can access it by a ferry or a 15 to 30 minute float plane from Vancouver or Seattle, and it's situated overlooking the Ganges Harbor. Sounds like a really nice and tranquil place to be.
Yeah, it does. And the pictures that I looked online too.
Yeah, definitely. And just the fact, as I said before, that you know, it was very self-sufficient and, you know, you could basically feed everybody and a family and what have you. So pretty cool that they could do all that kind of stuff. And so I thought that was pretty neat. But then, as always, you know, we have this podcast for a reason. So that means there's a ghostly past or present, so to speak. So let's find out about that.
Of course, that's where I come in.
Yes.
All right. So at the Harbor House Hotel, the ghost of Walter Herzog, I hope I say that right, he was murdered there in 1973. And he was also the owner and builder of the hotel. It says that he walks around moaning and making strange whispering sounds, causing the electricity to flicker. Guests have also reported seeing things like that happen, especially even after the newly revamped, I guess, part, or where they fixed it.
Right.
They still see the lights flicker on and off, and they feel the air get really thick. And they hear moans and stuff like that. And that's it. That's all I have for the ghosts.
I think that's kind of crazy. Like if I was out there working in the garden and I looked in to see my lights flickering and flashing, I think I would probably like, I don't know, fall over or something. Just saying, because I don't know. I wouldn't know what to make of it because... Especially if I knew the house was empty, unless my cats were like climbing the walls and playing with the light switches. So that would be really the only explanation for something like that to happen, right? Yeah. So.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean,
I think my first reaction would probably be like, what the? And then I would be like, uh oh, did the power go out?
What the fuzznit?
Yeah. I think my last thought would be, I guess it would depend. Like, if it wouldn't stop, like if it was flickering and then it would stop and then flickering, you know what I mean?
So you would be more convinced if there was like a pattern to it?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Because then it would seem more deliberate than... Yeah,
like more consistent, like yeah. more like...
Like trying to get your attention.
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
That makes sense.
Cool. Well, that's pretty neat. I mean, you know, everything's cool about, you know, what we research, and it always has like a fun... Well, not always fun, but sometimes it's fun.
Yeah.
But anyways, with that being said, now we are going to move into the paramedia segment, where we are going to talk about the Halloween series. And when we say the Halloween series, we are talking about the new series, so to speak. We're talking about Halloween 1978. We are talking about Halloween 2018. And we are talking about Halloween 2021. Which just came out last week. So we are going to talk about those movies, and we're going to get right into talking about Halloween 1978. So let's start off by talking about what our favorite parts were. My favorite part in that movie is probably the part where she's standing in the doorway, and the room behind her is pitch black, and then the only thing that you see from behind her is the face of Michael Myers just kind of coming out from the shadow, so to speak. And I thought that was really well done and well played out with regards to that, because it kind of captured that moment. It just made it really creepy and kind of freaky, you know?
Are you talking about that? I'm trying to picture it in my head. When she's looking down from the top window?
No, it's actually when she's in the house, and she's just, I think she, I don't remember exactly what point, but I know it's during the part where they're having like their standoff in the house, when she's young, when she's babysitting the kids, and the kids have already left the house and all that kind of stuff, and she's kind of doing the one-on-one fight scene at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she's just kind of standing there, and then in this dark room in the background, you just see the mask kind of emerging from this darkness, and it was really well played out, as I was saying a few minutes ago. It just kind of worked really well, and I think it kind of like set the creepiness of Michael Myers right there, in a sense, even though he was creepy before, but I think it just the evilness of it, I guess, yes. So to speak.
Uh-huh. Almost like he's not even in control at all, ever.
Yeah, it's really hard to explain what they're trying to go for.
Yeah,
definitely mentally, yes. And I think, you know, in the first movie, it was pretty tame compared to some things these days.
Oh yeah.
But I think in the
basic,
new
one, it was creepy because you didn't see slasher films that often, right?
Right.
So when you see this random guy pop out of nowhere and then he's gone, and then you know what, you have that feeling like someone's following you. It really got you.
It's terrifying, right?
Yeah.
And I think that
always
really,
looking over your shoulder, somebody there.
Yeah. But I think that really worked at the time, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So,
it did.
Yeah. And then now I think it's more of a gore thing. I still think that piece of horror factor, or the terrifying part of it, is still there. But kind of going back to the mental part and talking about the 2021 movie, I think they've really tried to capture that part where he is like Looney Tunes beyond anything. And not that he has special power. Well, yeah, I guess they kind of make it seem like he has superhuman abilities. Let's put it that way.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, Yeah, so it was really good. And I think definitely if you haven't had a chance to go see the newest one that was just out in the theater, definitely go and see it, because it was a continuation of the 2018 film, of course. So it's almost like a direct continuation. So
that's
definitely
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, really cool. And then I think the next one that comes out next year,
Did you give a spoiler away?
No, I didn't, because everybody knows that it's coming out. I just couldn't remember what it's called.
Okay.
This one's called, what, Halloween Lives? No.
Oh, wait, I think I saw... You're right, I think it is Halloween Lives.
Yeah, so if it's Halloween Lives, then Halloween Dies is next.
Interesting.
Yeah. Or something along those lines. So anyways, there's going to be a movie next year that's going to be coming out around the same time as this one came out this year, as long as everything doesn't go crazy again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to end the series in a way, but it's going to continue the series in a way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's possible. So anyways, it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. But they've done a lot of good things with it so far, and hopefully they're making a lot of money.
I really like in the 2018 one.
Yeah.
I like that she had trained her daughter without training her daughter. You know what I mean? Like, her daughter had no clue why her mother kept in the beginning when she was little, until it came in handy when she needed it, right? Because she didn't believe.
Yeah.
That Mike Myers was actually a threat.
Yeah, that's right. And
I really like that.
I like that too. And but like, I mean, you definitely obviously see the importance of it when, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. know, but I found it that odd that she kind of fought it so hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I get that she wanted a normal life and she didn't want to be like her mother and all that kind of stuff, but.
But it had been so long.
Yeah, I guess after a certain point, you gotta go, okay, you know.
Like, how long was the gap anyway?
You know what? I don't know specifically, but I would say, you know, probably 30 years, 40 years or something, because it came out
She 1978. Was like an adult.
And this movie came out in 2018, so it would have been 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess at that point, after a while, you would be like, okay, stop. He's gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I get it. Yeah, yeah, I get it.
So that's why she didn't believe her mom anymore, you know, get over it sort of thing, I guess.
Well, yeah, there was that time in the 2018 movie when she showed up for dinner and she just started drinking the wine and she's like, Mom, I thought you were going to stop this, you know? And she's like, oh, I know, I know. I was just like, wow, that's well played out.
That was good.
So, yeah, definitely.
I like that part too.
Yeah, yeah. So I really do like the direction that these movies are going in, you know.
I like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. But I'm going to say, and I hope I don't get like ripped a new one by anybody, but I think she's going to get killed in the next movie.
Don't say that.
I know. But, you know, I don't know. That's what I mean by it's going to kind of like end the series, but it's going to like start it again, you know? Like,
that's
there's
going to
be, yeah. Because, yeah. That's just my thought. Not saying that I know anything or I psychically see anything.
I was just going to say, are you predicting the future?
Are you predicting the future? No, I'm not. I'm just my thoughts. That's all. So don't send me hate mail, okay? Thanks. But anyways, do you have anything more to add about the current Halloween series?
No, I don't think so. I can't wait to see the new one. I'm excited.
Yes, you should go.
Mm-hmm. You should come with me.
That would be fourth time seeing it. I'm going to be able to recite it soon. But anyways, that brings us to another end of an episode of our season 3, episode 1.
What?
Yes. Yeah, so make sure you go on our Facebook as well to see the video and the tour that we did of the Aurelia Opera House. We got to go in a lot of different places that, you know, people don't get to see. So take a look. It's on our Facebook. It will be there posted. So enjoy that. Enjoy the new season. And I definitely hope that you have a very happy Halloween. Stay safe, you know, out there in Halloween land when everybody goes out trick-or-treating.
Yes. Hope I get to see some kitties running around with their costumes on.
Yes, it's been a little while since we've been able to do that. So
yeah.
It would be nice.
What are they doing? Are they allowing them to go out, like, but not collect candy? Like, I don't know. What's going on?
You know what? I'm not sure. Check your local listings. Check your local government agency and see what they've laid out for your city, town, you know, province, what have you, just to make sure that everybody stays safe.
Yes.
Yeah. So as we said, you know, enjoy your Halloween, and I'm going to get Bree to let us know how you can get in touch with us and also find out where you can see those videos on Facebook. Bree?
Alrighty. So as always, you can reach out to us at paranormalfilescanada@gmail.com. If you know of a haunted location in the Ontario area, yeah, you can definitely let us know. And yes, we'll research it and see if it's something we want to talk about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you can also reach out to us on Facebook at Paranormal Files Canada, on Instagram at Canada Paranormal Files. And you can also reach us on Twitter at @PFC_Sean_Brie.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes, definitely reach out to us and let us know what you think of the show, our videos and stuff like that. We would love to do more down the road, and we always love to get suggestions from the people that listen to our show. So definitely, definitely let us know what you think. Bree has one more thing.
I forgot to tell you, I learned the other day about... Remember when we were at the opera house and I said, oh, it smells like wood's burning. But right.
Yes,
we were inside and it was like a huge building. And you smelt it too, right?
Right.
Well, I heard the other day that that means that a spirit is reaching out to you or is nearby.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a nifty thing because, I definitely smelt it and I was like, you know me, I love a bonfire.
Oh, so, I do too. I love this.
Right? Smell. So that kind of like...
triggered me.
My little antenna went up and I was like, oh, okay. Somebody's having a bonfire, but apparently not. Wow. Good news.
Because I didn't smell anything when we got outside.
No, I didn't either. Yeah. That's really odd that I didn't even think about that. Cool.
Huh.
Well, thanks for that. I like it.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, as we said, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Take care out there and take care of each other. And don't forget to
stay spooky.